What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this edition of the show. It's Rumor Mill Friday, guys. It was a pretty newsworthy Friday morning, and just starting, you know, not even with the Eagles, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up randomly, went on Twitter, and saw the whole Antonio Brown news with the Buffalo Bills and how it seemed like they had a deal done. And then I bet what happened was Antonio Brown told Pittsburgh that he wasn't going to go to Buffalo. And yeah, the trade didn't happen. Brown and Le'Veon Bell are just kind of showing the power of players now. They're starting to put their foot down. And I think they're seeing these, you know, NBA players have all this power. And guys like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, they're just not giving in to what a famous organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers are really wanting to do with those guys. It's, you know, Le'Veon Bell's now a free agent, and it doesn't seem like Antonio Brown is, it looks like he does have a lot of control over where he's going to go. So that was interesting. And then there's just a bunch of things that are linked with the Eagles this morning that were reported, and we're going to get into all of it. The Jaguars released a bunch of players seemingly to clear up salary cap space for Nick Foles, but the players they indeed released to potentially free up that space for Foles could be great candidates to join the Eagles next week when free agency opens on March 13th at 4 o'clock. The Eagles made another interesting headline today with Michael Bennett, so we'll get into that. And then Le'Veon Bell just continues to hint on becoming a Philadelphia Eagle, so I'll speculate in that as well on today's edition of the show. But first, I want to start with Michael Bennett, and it appears him and the Eagles are moving on, which is a crazy turn of events from just a couple days ago. If you missed my offseason simulation podcast, I recommend you take a look at that, because I went through the rest of the offseason, played Howie Roseman, I went through free agent signings, more in-house decisions, and the draft as well, and I was really big on keeping Michael Bennett for $7.2 million. But Michael Bennett was on Good Morning Football today on NFL Network, and he said not only is he not going to take a pay cut to stay with the Eagles, he wants a pay raise. And then just, what, probably an hour later, Jeff McClain comes out and tweets a report that the Eagles would either look to trade or cut Michael Bennett. So, and Michael Bennett actually liked one of the tweets that said Bennett and the Eagles were moving on. So that's a crazy turn of events for the two, when I thought, really, when we headed into the offseason, it seemed like Brandon Graham was the one that was going to go elsewhere, and the Eagles were going to be with Michael Bennett and Derek Barnett heading into the 2019 season, and then whatever else they do, if they keep Chris Long, decide to draft a guy in the first or second round with those three picks they have, and such a great deep defensive line class, it looks like, you know, they extended Brandon Graham, and Michael Bennett's the one that's going to be on the outs. And I think for both sides, this makes sense. You know, I wasn't someone that was willing to move on from Bennett at $7.2 million just for the sake of clearing up cap space. You know, at 7.2, he's in the 20s when it comes to highest-paid edge rushers. And Michael Bennett last year was one of the best edge rushers in the league. He had 30 quarterback hits. He had 9.5 sacks, one of the top edge rushers in QB pressures, one of the top in the league in pressures, a versatile player that could play both defensive end and defensive tackle. Like, people talking about just trading him at the 7.2, to me, was absolutely nuts when you could get rid of a guy like Chris Long at 5.6. And to me, Michael Bennett offers you a lot more, even though they're both around the same age in their mid-30s. But, you know, he is underpaid. I do understand his side of this wanting more money, right? So I wasn't for getting rid of him at 7.2, but if he's going to want more, I can really see where both sides are on this. Michael Bennett is a player that is looking to get his last big contract before he moves on. And, you know, at 33 years old, there's not going to be other teams that are going to really pay him big money in a couple years. And coming off a great season, he's going to try to max out that value he has right now. So I understand it from his perspective that not only is he not going to take a pay cut at 7.2, which would be asinine, I understand that 100% from the player's perspective, but I also understand him wanting a pay raise when you know that if you go into the free agent market, you're probably going to command a lot of money because there's not as many pass rushers going into free agency as we thought, right? Jadeveon Clowney's not going to be in there. DeMarcus Lawrence isn't going to be in there. Dee Ford's not going to be in there. We'll see what happens. I don't think Frank Clark either. I'm not 100% sure what's going on there with Seattle, but Brandon Graham's not going in. So suddenly this pool of crazy deep pass rushers, you know, there's still some really good ones. Flowers from New England, Ziggy Ansah is going to be in it. I think Dante Fowler with the Rams is going to be a free agent as well. So there are still some good pieces, but not nearly as many as we thought. So a Michael Bennett, even at 33 years old, coming off the season that he had, is going to still command a lot of money. So I understand his perspective, but I also understand the Eagles. Like, I was very against just moving on from Michael Bennett just for the sake of clearing up some money when they look like they're going to be in the $20 million cap space range, even with Michael Bennett on the books. But if he's going to want more money and he was already not going to be happy with his role next year, because when Derek Barnett comes back, Michael Bennett is going to be a rotational piece. He is not going to be a starter on the line. It's going to be Brandon Graham and it's going to be Derek Barnett, much like it was for the first couple weeks of the season last year before Barnett got hurt. And Barnett was having a really good start to the season. So they're going to give Derek Barnett, their 2017 first round pick, the opportunity to be that starter once again on the edge. And Michael Bennett wasn't happy with that at the start of the year. And, you know, he shouldn't be. Again, he was one of the best edge rushers in football last year. So, again, understand his perspective. But also with the Eagles, like, this is a guy that's going to want a pay raise at 33 when you're not even really committing to him to be a focal point of your defense. I understand why the Eagles as well would try to get, hopefully, a draft pick out of this. They are, per Tim McManus of ESPN. He says the Eagles are engaging in trade talks with other teams for Michael Bennett. So, hey, if they could get a fourth round pick or get another pick in the draft this year, a fourth or fifth rounder, like, I'll take that. You know, last year, I still think it was a hell of a trade. Michael Bennett for a fifth round pick and Marcus Johnson. Even for the 1 year, Bennett was one of the key reasons this team was able to make the playoffs down the stretch, right? We saw that pass rush take off. You know, and that's why we talk about how good the secondary was down the stretch. A lot of that had to do with how good the defensive line was. They weren't getting to the quarterback. They weren't finishing plays in the first half of the season like they were in the second half of the season. And I just go back to Michael Bennett's performance against Dallas specifically, him and Fletcher Cox. Like, that was one of the best performances from an Eagles defensive player I have seen in a long time. So Michael Bennett was a key piece to that 2018 turnaround last season. So still a great trade. And if they can go around and get another draft pick for him this year, I think that's a win-win. And if not, you still free up $7.2 million, and suddenly you're in the $20 million cap range already. If we calculate Brandon Graham's cap hit as well, which is probably going to be estimated, I think it was $5.6 million. So you add that as well as Michael Bennett's $7.2 million, you're freeing up another couple million dollars. They're going to be in the 20s, guys. Like, they're going to have money to spend. And there's some interesting names out there now. Not even just when it comes to, I know I get into running backs a lot and receivers, and there's a lot of guys at safety now, even more after today. But pass rushers, too. Like, they have the ability to replace Bennett with a veteran pass rusher if they want. I think the idea of keeping Chris Long is a lot more likely now. He's already under contract anyway. He did express on the Dan Patrick Show last month that he does want to play again in 2019, but he was kind of keeping his eyes on the Philadelphia situation, because if they went out there and they paid a Dante Fowler a bunch of money, or they kept Michael Bennett and Brandon Graham and it looked like they were going to draft a guy in the first round, then it wouldn't make sense for Chris Long to keep playing. But with Michael Bennett gone now, that kind of opens the door for Chris Long to continue to be that third pass rusher with either they might decide to do both. They could keep Chris Long and they could sign a free agent like a Ziggy Ansah or a Dante Fowler or a Brandon Flowers. They could do both. They, to me, have the flexibility to do both. Or you could decide to keep Chris Long, go with a rookie in the first or second round. In my offseason simulation, I took, let's say, just for the sake of speculation here, in my mock draft, I got Charles Menehue from Texas. You could pair him up with Josh Sweat, those two competing to be that fourth guy and two, hopefully, staples of your defensive line going forward, and still have Chris Long, who's coming off, in his own right, a 6.5 sack season. So even though I'm going to be disappointed because Michael Bennett was such a good player last year for the Eagles, so crucial to that turnaround last year to make the playoffs, even though it's going to be upsetting to see him gone after just 1 year, I am still extremely confident. You've heard me and Gino talk about it all offseason that the Eagles are going to have options when it comes to adding pass rushers. There's so many in the draft this year that they can get. There's options in free agency, in-house if they want to keep Chris Long at 5.6. That's not a crazy cap figure. I think Josh Sweat is going to be an interesting guy to keep an eye on for a potential second-year breakout. I just love his raw ability. I wrote about him on LockdownEagles.com, how he could change the way the Eagles think about how they address pass rusher this offseason. So I think what they do will also tell you a lot about Josh Sweat. So although Michael Bennett's going to be moving on and it's unfortunate,
It's good that it clears up money for the Eagles, and there's a lot of options to continue to be a deep pass-rushing defense. And, you know, they already have Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett as you're starting to anyway for another 3 years at least with Brandon Graham's contract extension. So I think they're still going to be in pretty good shape even without Michael Bennett. But understand Michael Bennett's side of this. Understand Philadelphia's side. I think just think, you know, you can't – don't hate the player. Hate the game. And a lot of people like to hate the player when it comes to this game that is the business of the NFL. Teams kind of get away with it because fans are loyal to teams in the NFL. It's not like the NBA where there's a lot of fans like myself that don't really have a team and they follow players. So there's more people that are in on player mobility in the NBA. But in the NFL as well, I don't think you can be mad at the team because it is a business and you got to make these kind of calls. But at the same time, if you're a player and you're 33 years old like Michael Bennett coming off the year that he had, you also can't be mad at him for trying to maximize his value because it's also a business for him. So don't hate the player, hate the game. Don't hate the league, hate the game. Let's take a break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, let's get into some of the other moves around the league today. There's some rumors about the Eagles going in on a certain running back. The Jaguars were making moves with some key cuts to significant contributors on defense and offense last year and in the past couple years. And the Eagles are linked to basically all of these factors. We'll get into that, some Le'Veon Bell talk and more on this Friday edition of Lockdown Eagles. All right, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Friday edition of the podcast, getting into the Michael Bennett news that it's basically going to be official that he's not in Philadelphia. I bet in the next couple days you'll hear either a trade announced or that the Eagles are releasing Michael Bennett so he can go into free agency. So that's what we got into in the first segment. Now I want to get into some of the Friday links to the Eagles that where some reporters are linking their names with potential free agents. And the Jaguars made a couple moves today, seemingly to clear up space for a Nick Foles $20 million contract, seemingly, with how much space that they opened up. They're now in like the $30 million range, and it's funny because it's for a former Eagle, but at the same time, these former Jaguars now that are getting cut could interest Philadelphia, and we'll start there. The Jaguars released today defensive tackle slash defensive end Malik Jackson. They released Tayshawn Gibson, their starting safety the past couple years. They also released running back Carlos Hyde, who they traded a fifth-round pick for just last year, which is interesting that they were willing to move on. They must still believe in Leonard Fournette, despite the stressed relationship at the end of last season. And all three of these guys should interest Philadelphia. Tayshawn Gibson's a guy that could be a replacement for Corey Graham. There are a lot of safeties right now, and because of Earl Thomas and Landon Collins and Eric Weddle, it could push Tayshawn Gibson's value down. A nice buy-low veteran-type pickup here is their third safety, which again plays on the field, like what, 60% of the time? The third safety plays more than the second or third linebacker a lot of the time on this Eagles defense. So I think Tayshawn Gibson's an interesting option if they elect to go that way instead of the draft. Although I think with McLeod and Jenkins' age and McLeod's contract expiring next year, they should maybe go a little bit younger at the position. But I think Gibson would be a good option. And as for Carlos Hyde, that's just one more running back that the Eagles could add as part of a stable. Like, he's not a guy that I want to be the RB1 next year in Philadelphia. He would be an upgrade from anything they had last year. But at the same time, that's another cop-out move at running back if they just pick up Carlos Hyde and then don't really do anything else. But hey, it's another option if some of these other guys get priced out in the open market, like a Tevin Coleman, who we're going to talk about in a minute, like a Le'Veon Bell, if he really does get a $17 or $18 million contract, and Josh Jacobs isn't available at pick 25. Carlos Hyde's another option to not go in next year once again with Wendell Smallwood as one of your lead ball carriers. So I think keep your eye on all of these Jaguar guys, even Malik Jackson. Look, he is still under 30 years old. Season ago, he was in the Pro Bowl. Big contract that they brought over from Denver after they won the Super Bowl. The Jaguars pay him big money. He was instrumental in that stellar elite defense from 2017 where the Jaguars made the AFC Championship game. A guy that not great against the run. I think Tim Jernigan's got him in that area. But Malik Jackson, when it comes to pass rushing, another guy that you would love in the middle paired with Fletcher Cox. I think Malik Jackson is someone that would be really interesting. I had Bo Allen coming back in my offseason simulation, but if they could get Malik Jackson on a one-year prove-it deal, or even if Malik Jackson wants a longer-term deal, he is younger than even Michael Bennett, so I think Malik Jackson's an option to put there next to Fletcher Cox. And again, just free agency is going to give you more optionality in the draft. By adding some of these players, like a Malik Jackson or a Tayshawn Gibson, it's going to allow you to not force needs at the top of the draft. I still think you should draft based on need, best player available based on your needs, but it won't be like, okay, we have to get a defensive tackle now in one of these two rounds or we're screwed, because then we're going in again next year with Trayvon Hester next to Fletcher Cox. Like, I don't think that's going to be really something they have to be concerned with, because there are a lot of options in both venues of adding talent in free agency and in the draft, and Malik Jackson's just another option Philadelphia can go to. So I think Jackson, Gibson, and Carlos Hyde will pique the interest of Philadelphia, but a guy that I would much rather prefer in the backfield is a Tevin Coleman. And according to Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, he was on, I think, 97.5 The Fanatic this morning in Philadelphia. He said the Eagles 100% have Falcons running back Tevin Coleman on their radar. Coleman is set to be a free agent this offseason, next week. 8 receiving touchdowns the past 2 years. Versatile, kind of been that second guy in that 1-2 punch with Devontae Freeman. Last year, Freeman gets hurt. Coleman turns out 800 rushing yards on 4.8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, but then in the receiving game as well, 32 catches, 276 yards and 5 touchdowns, so he had 9 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards from scrimmage last year, a guy that's only 25 years old. There are a lot of young options at running back, not only, of course, in the draft, but free agency as well. Like, this is just, how many 25-year-old running backs have I talked about on the podcast, guys, the past couple days, right? Tevin Coleman now, Duke Johnson's 25, and so is Jordan Howard at 25 years old. If I had to rank the three, including, let's throw Carlos Hyde in there as well, I would go, I want Tevin Coleman first, Duke Johnson second, Jordan Howard third, and then Carlos Hyde fourth. I think Tevin Coleman would be a great fit in Philadelphia. If they're going to commit to that committee approach still, Tevin Coleman could be that RB1 in a committee with a rookie and Corey Clement, or that RB2 if they were to take a Josh Jacobs early. Or I would love to pair Tevin Coleman with like a Daryl Henderson or a David Montgomery. I think Coleman would really fit in this Philadelphia offense well. It just, again, depends on, I think Adam Kaplan, Gino talked about it yesterday, Adam Kaplan, an NFL insider, kind of linked the Eagles and a speed receiver at the start of free agency and a running back, but the contingency with running back was depending on where the money is. So if Le'Veon Bell cashes in big, and then a team like the Jets, let's say, miss out on Le'Veon. Let's say Baltimore gives Le'Veon Bell a lot of money, and then the Jets have all this cap space, and they're trying to pair up some weapons with Sam Darnold, and they give Tevin Coleman a pretty big contract. Then, of course, Philadelphia is not going to get into a bidding war for Tevin Coleman. It's just not worth it at that point. I'd rather go trade a fifth-round draft pick for Duke Johnson. So they are going to be in on one of these guys, though, for sure. Even if it's not Le'Veon Bell, they have a lot of other options that you can pair up with Corey Clement and then hopefully a rookie. And I think Garofolo saying the Eagles have Tevin Coleman on their radar makes perfect sense. It adds up with their other running backs they're interested in a Duke Johnson, both players very versatile, do-it-all running backs that I've really been emphasizing over the past couple of weeks of podcasts. And it's good that those are the guys that the Eagles are doing their due diligence on, right? Even at the combine, who they met with, Josh Jacobs, Daryl Henderson, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary. Like, these are all players that can not only run the football at an efficient pace, but they can also be a weapon in the backfield in the screen game and as receivers. And that's really what you want in your running back now, is not only to be a great runner, but to also be a weapon, just a weapon in general, an offensive weapon. Like, that's what I want to start changing the viewpoint of running backs now, is start viewing them as weapons, much like receivers, as opposed to just being runners. I think that's maybe where, or people maybe overreacting to investing in the running back position, where they just don't want to give any assets at all into the position, where I think if you view it more as a weapon, like an Alshon Jeffery at receiver, it'll maybe change your perspective a little bit. And that's what I want to get into next. I want to talk about Le'Veon Bell, who continues to drop hints about becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. And we'll get into if the Eagles are interested, but it definitely seems like Le'Veon Bell is interested in Philadelphia. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. So Le'Veon Bell continues to drop hints about becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. Not only did he screenshot a conversation with Bryce Harper, seemingly, about Harper recruiting Le'Veon to Philadelphia, or there was just a random Twitter account that said Le'Veon in Philly would be nasty, and he's using the thinking emoji and responding to it. And now today, Le'Veon continued to hint that he might be interested in becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. It might not have been the intention of the tweet, but he's got Eagles Twitter talking once again. He screenshotted a conversation he had with his friend over text, and they were talking about Le'Veon's new album, because Le'Veon Bell has his own mixtapes. His name is Juice, and the music world. Actually, not bad. I have one of his albums. I've loved Le'Veon Bell since he was a rookie. In my fantasy league, I've owned him every year that he has been in the league. We have a two-keeper system, and I just have never let him go. So I've been a big fan of Le'Veon's for a long time. And I'm in on Le'Veon Bell to Philadelphia, by the way. I think you guys can pretty much tell that. I'm just into adding any sort of player of that caliber with Carson Wentz. But anyway, back to the conversation he had with his friend that he screenshotted. They were talking about his album, and he screenshotted it and tweeted out, or I think it was on Snapchat, and then once again, using the thinking emoji, and wrote, HMMM. And he was probably talking about the album, but if you zoom in and you look at... So he took a screenshot of his friend's conversation with Le'Veon. So it's from the perspective of his friend's phone to Le'Veon Bell. The guy had Le'Veon Bell's picture in his contact information as Le'Veon in a Philadelphia Eagles jersey. And his contact info was Le'Veon Bell, and it had the eagle emojis. And once again, he's not talking about his album. To me, he wants to be an Eagle. And he should want to be an Eagle. This is an offense that fits Le'Veon Bell perfectly. It's an offense that is going to keep him at the height of his powers for a long time still, if you ask me. I don't think he's going to go... Like, you don't want to even... So I understand him standing his ground against Pittsburgh. But at the same time, you don't want to go to a team where you're just going to disappear from the league. Like, Philadelphia is a big market. They're Super Bowl contenders right now. They just won a championship a couple years ago. Great head coach, great culture. It seems like he would want to become an Eagle. It would make perfect sense if the money makes sense, because, of course, that is what Le'Veon's priority right now is. So the question is, do the Eagles want him? And based on the links to other running backs like Tevin Coleman today from Mike Garafolo of NFL Network, Duke Johnson a couple days ago, the Eagles were rumored to be interested in trading from him, from the Cleveland Browns. Those moves or those rumors don't point to the Eagles being interested in Le'Veon. We'll see if the market changes that. Hopefully it does, because Le'Veon's going in right now with these high expectations, and he should. He should be looking to get as much money as he can. But say the market doesn't form around him, right? And teams are not willing to offer him more than the Steelers were just a couple years ago at that $14 million a year range. Say that's the mark right there. Le'Veon then is probably going to choose the best situation. And that is Philadelphia. Like, again, it makes perfect sense that Le'Veon Bell is hinting and pushing at becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. But again, with the Eagles right now, it doesn't seem like that interest is mutual just based on who else they're interested in. So while Tevin Coleman is one of the other top free agents at the position, I would say he's second behind Le'Veon Bell. Maybe Mark Ingram's in there as well, some other guys. But Tevin Coleman's definitely up there. Tevin Coleman's not nearly going to price out at an equal range to Le'Veon Bell. So... it's interesting. I think if Le'Veon Bell to Philadelphia happens, it's going to be a little later on in free agency, maybe a couple days in, a week into free agency. Like, don't expect March 13th right at 4 o'clock the Eagles announce that they are bringing in Le'Veon Bell. They can do it. They're going to have the money up front. They have the front-loaded space where if they want to just get him all that guaranteed money in the first couple years where they have this cap space while they await these other big cap hits that have been backloaded, that is possible. They can do it. But I think more so they would be smart to wait out the market, kind of see what his market value is, and then decide if you want to go after him. Because right now he might be asking for $17 million annually. But after talking to a bunch of teams and their interest, it might lower down a couple million dollars. And any couple million that you could save and get a player of Le'Veon Bell's ability is a win-win. Fans just need to... I understand... If you don't have a lot of cap space and you're not a team that's in a win-now situation, I understand not wanting a Le'Veon Bell. But a lot of fans are having this opinion that no matter what a team's situation is, no matter what the player's caliber is, what his ceiling is, what his potential is, what his production is, like a Le'Veon Bell, it doesn't matter, you don't invest in it. And to me, you got to stop being that anti-Bell. Like, they can do it. They do have the ability. And someone even tweeted me today that it would be the worst Howie Roseman move he has made since coming back as GM. So adding a top 10 weapon in the NFL to Carson Wentz, just imagine this offense, guys. Like, I know the money thing is what everyone's harping on. And the workload that he's had, even though he's only 27 years old, and last year he didn't take a single hit in the NFL. Just imagine from a football perspective, Carson Wentz in shotgun, Le'Veon Bell to his left. He's got Alshon Jeffery split out wide with Nelson Aguilar, Dallas Goedert, and Zach Ertz on the field with that offensive line. Is there a deeper core of offensive weapons in the NFL? No, there isn't. The Rams don't have that. The Chiefs can't match that. The Saints can't match that. The Patriots can't match that. They would instantly be the scariest offense in football. And if they can do it money-wise where it doesn't kill them long-term, I don't understand the anti-Bell sentiment. I don't get it. People are okay with Alshon Jeffrey making $14 million a year. It's bad if Le'Veon Bell makes 15 to 16. Le'Veon Bell's a better weapon than Alshon Jeffrey is. I'm not saying I'd rather have Le'Veon than Alshon, but at the money, like, it's only a $2 million difference? And Le'Veon Bell's elite. He's an elite running back. You instantly have a top three player at that position. And I know people don't like that position. They don't care about the position. But again, think of him as an offensive weapon, because not only is he your best running back, he's one of your best pass catchers, and he's a great pass blocker. He's a guy that can play on all three downs, so you don't have to have Darren Sproles out there on third and long, and they instantly know what you're doing. Le'Veon Bell at $15 or $16 million is not that bad at all. It's $6 million more than Randall Cobb is making. Like, again, we got to start thinking about where the value is of weapons. Albert Wilson, Dante Moncrief, Randall Cobb, these kind of guys are making $8 to $10 million as receivers. Terrell Williams from the Chargers this year in the free agent market's probably going to make, what, $11 million, $12 million? You think Le'Veon Bell at $4 million more is a bad move? One of the worst Howie Roseman's ever made? Like, that's crazy, guys. I get maybe wanting to... Look, I'd rather have Josh Jacobs than Le'Veon Bell. Absolutely. You get 5 years of cheap production from him, and it could be at an elite level if he turns out to be the next Alvin Kamara, right? Because you have 4 years, and hypothetically, if you take him in the first round, you have that fifth-year option. Like, I understand that. I would rather have Josh Jacobs, too. But there's nobody else I would rather have. It doesn't matter about the money, the production. Le'Veon Bell blows everybody else away. And the same people that are saying it's a terrible move, instantly, if the Eagles brought in Le'Veon Bell, they'd be going crazy. Like, I get... If a team does not have the money to do it and you think it's going to affect your team, I understand at that point because there's other ways to find a running back. But you can't just be so narrow-sighted where no matter what your team's situation is or no matter what the player's abilities are, you're just going to say we're not paying that position. I just don't think that's a good way to go about it, because what Le'Veon Bell could do for this offense would be night and day compared to what they had last year with Josh Adams leading the way at 511 rushing yards in the regular season. So Le'Veon clearly seems like he wants to be in Philadelphia. I don't think Philadelphia is interested right now based on who else they've been linked to. But if the market changes just a little bit, if Le'Veon Bell is really interested and maybe would be willing to make or take a couple less million, like if he's willing to take $15 million in Philadelphia instead of $18 million in New York with the Jets, then look, I'm in at that point. I mean, that's the thing too for Le'Veon Bell. I think he should be about the money, but it shouldn't be about just making the most money you can get. Like, if the Eagles are offering you $16 million and the Jets want to offer you $19 million, like, I'm not passing up being in this Philadelphia offense if I'm Le'Veon Bell and I can still make $16 million a year. I think that would be crazy of Bell, and it seems like they're the team that's on the top of his list right now, and they should be. So we'll see how it works out. But as of right now, I wouldn't predict it. I would be extremely excited. I'd be one of the first guys defending Le'Veon and Philadelphia, because with the Eagles now, the one thing the Rams and the Saints have over Philadelphia's offense are those do-it-all, world-beater, elite running back weapons in the backfield with Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara and that 1-2 punch of Kamara and Mark Ingram. And if Philadelphia has that, there's not a single offense in this league that can compete with the talent that they have. So it'll be interesting. Right now, it does seem like they're more interested in the Tevin Coleman's and the Duke Johnson's of the world and the Jordan Howard's and the Josh Jacobs. But we'll see how the market develops next Wednesday, right? Yeah, the 13th is next Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Super exciting stuff. I absolutely cannot wait for free agency. And we'll continue our coverage here throughout the week on Locked On Eagles. We'll continue our offseason options segment. Next week, we'll get into pass rushers, linebackers, safeties, every other position that you could see the Eagles signing in free agency. Me and Gina will get on those in our offseason options special episodes on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for joining me today on this Friday edition of the show. Please subscribe to our podcast or Check him out on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. And of course, as always, on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds!